Think about the last time you faced a problem that refused to behave. You applied every solution in your toolkit, consulted the experts, followed best practices, and still, the situation spiraled in unexpected directions. Welcome to the defining challenge of our era, navigating a world where complexity isn't the exception, but the rule. Most leadership training prepares us for a world that no longer exists, one where problems had clear causes and solutions followed predictable paths. But what happens when 6 children die under your agency's watch in 18 months, and you have 3 hours to determine whether you're facing individual failures or systemic collapse? This is the reality Yolanda Murphy confronts as director of a statewide Family and Children's Services division, and it's emblematic of the kind of complexity leaders face daily. The old playbook, analyze, decide, execute, crumbles when the ground itself keeps shifting beneath your feet. We're taught that great leaders have great answers, but research reveals 70% of corporate failures stem from leaders' unwillingness to question their assumptions. Kodak executives kept asking, "How can we improve our film business?" when they should have asked, "How is photography itself evolving?" That misplaced question cost them everything. The most powerful leadership tool isn't a brilliant answer. It's a different question. Our brains naturally seek confirmation, validating existing beliefs. When Yolanda's deputy, Doug, suggests they need different questions rather than more answers, he recognizes their crisis won't yield to conventional investigation. Instead of who's to blame, they need what patterns are emerging. Companies like Google institutionalize this through pre-mortems, where teams ask what could make this project fail before launching. The shift feels uncomfortable, but the alternative is worse, confidently leading everyone down a path that no longer leads anywhere. When stress hits, our ancient nervous system triggers fight or flight. That person disagreeing with you? Your brain registers them as a threat to defeat, not a perspective to understand. This instinct served our ancestors facing predators, but it's disastrous for modern leadership. The greatest transformational leaders, Mandela, Gandhi, King, understood something profound. Real change requires seeing beyond us versus them thinking. Mandela studied Afrikaans and Rudby in prison to understand his captors' worldview. They weren't being soft. They were accessing a strategic advantage that comes from holding multiple perspectives simultaneously. When Yolanda faces Reverend Welcher calling for her resignation, she could respond defensively. Instead, she wonders, what motivates him? The key insight? Everyone is the hero of their own story. Ask yourself, if I had just done what that person did and I thought my actions were perfectly reasonable, what story might I be telling myself? A manager opposing your initiative might not resist change itself, but worry about maintaining quality during transition. This practice isn't about agreeing with everyone, it's about recognizing that each person's perspective makes sense from their vantage point. When you genuinely see through others' eyes, you discover valuable insights and create psychological safety that encourages honest dialogue. We crave simple narratives. Hero faces challenge, takes action, wins. But organizational life is messier. When Yolanda and Doug investigate child welfare incidents, they search for patterns in disconnected tragedies, trying to understand whether they're facing individual breakdowns or something systemic. Consider wetness. You can study hydrogen and oxygen separately, but wetness only emerges when they combine. Similarly, violence against vulnerable children didn't result from bad policies or incompetent people alone. It emerged from complex relationships, histories, budget constraints, political pressures, and overworked social workers, all interacting to create tragic outcomes. Our brains resist this understanding because we want someone to blame, a lever to pull, a clear fix. But complex adaptive systems don't work that way. Small changes can create massive differences, while huge interventions sometimes barely register. Effective leaders don't control outcomes directly. They influence the conditions that make certain outcomes more likely. They look for attractors, patterns the system naturally gravitates toward, and experiment with shifting them. Systems thinking increases mental flexibility, helping you stop fighting the system and start working with it. Once you understand the system's inclinations, shift patterns through safe-to-fail experiments, specific interventions at reasonable scale. A U.S. Army major in Iraq noticed riots formed when crowds gathered and food vendors arrived. Rather than using force, he banned vendors from plazas. Without food, crowds disperse for dinner, preventing riots by addressing system patterns rather than punishing individuals. Effective experiments share key traits. They're truly safe to fail, with acceptable risks defined upfront. Measure progress through qualitative and quantitative data, watching for improvements and unintended consequences. Start small with potential to scale and include shutdown mechanisms if needed. Share insights from both successes and failures. At Actualize, a software company struggling to expand services, leadership identified attractors favoring software development. Experiments included connecting engineers directly with customers, letting engineers build what excited them, and creating shared spaces for cross-team interaction. Each generated learning that informed the next iteration. In complex situations, abandon the search for the best solution. Instead, create safe-to-learn conversations, strategies, and action plans that help you learn your way forward. Organizations need people who can handle complexity, yet their practices often keep people small. "We hire the smartest people" sounds reasonable, but as Chris Argyris noted, highly successful professionals rarely experience failure and therefore never learn how to learn from it. "We hold people accountable" can stifle innovation. Competition keeps people sharp, undermines development by keeping people focused on external validation. Carol Dweck's research revealed that our mindset, whether we see our qualities as fixed or changeable, profoundly affects how we handle setbacks. Fixed mindset leaders focus on hiring the best, while growth mindset leaders invest in developing people. Organizations with growth mindsets respond more effectively to business changes and lead more successful initiatives. The artificial separation between regular work and professional development is counterproductive. Organizations that recognize these as the same thing create employees who get development every day while accomplishing tasks. The complex world won't simplify. We must grow as big as the world requires us to be. Our brains seek predictable patterns, a survival advantage that now limits us. While pattern seeking worked for simple cause and effect scenarios, today's challenges exist in shades of gray. Our brains gravitate toward easier, fictional problems, causing us to miss the biggest, most wicked challenges. The habits explored here, asking different questions, taking multiple perspectives, seeing systems, experimenting and learning, growing ourselves and others, form a framework for navigating this terrain. When facing complexity, create boundaries, defining what's in bounds versus out of bounds, establishing guardrails that allow both alignment and experimentation. You don't need a perfect map. You need the capacity to navigate shifting terrain. Start small. Ask one different question today. Take one dismissed perspective. Notice one organizational pattern. These simple habits, practiced consistently, will grow you bigger than your problems. In a world defined by complexity, your capacity to learn, adapt, and evolve isn't just an advantage, it's everything.